Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. We welcome you to the program, The Buckmaster Show, on this Monday. It is the 23rd of February, 2015. Hope you had a very good weekend as we now plow into the last work week of February already upon us. And then we'll have 2 months already into the books in 2015. We're coming to you live from AM 1030. KVOI The Voice, and we live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, podcasts, and the complete audio archive available anytime, any place, and that's at my website, buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin, as we do each Monday afternoon, with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring two commentators on opposite sides of the political spectrum. Then the turmoil in Arizona's education system will be addressed in our segment with our education contributor, longtime educational leader, Dr. Robert Hendricks. And then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes. He heads up the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. If you would like to call us, and we hope you do, 790-2040, call in, have your voice heard. It's better than standing on a street corner with a sign. You'll reach a lot more people by calling us and giving us your opinion. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and we welcome new friends there on the Facebook page. Every Monday, we do kick things off with our team of commentators. It's Bruce Ash today. Mr. Ash is in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Jeff Rogers is here, a prominent local attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democrat Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. Jeff and Bruce, how are you?
Doing good. I was just thinking about Moe. If Moe ever tried to become a JP or something, mm-hmm. would he become the hanging judge? You think? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Mo about that. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Very nice weekend. Beautiful. Got into some horseback riding. Went to a nice wedding. Just a beautiful weekend.
Hey, guys, remind me never to watch another Oscar show. I just blew 3 hours of my Sunday night. I could have been doing really anything other than watching the most boring TV presentation. I know that making a movie requires some of these craft awards to be given, but do you need to put them on in prime time and take up an hour at least with some of these minor awards? Just really boring stuff.
Really boring. So boring that I stopped watching it many years ago. I used to remember the good old days when they put it on the same night as the national championship game, and so that you had a real good excuse to avoid it. You could watch the NCAA championship game instead.
I watched Downton Abbey. You know, Anna was taken into custody by Scotland Yard last night, and Lady Rose was married to Atticus. The Anglican married the Jew on Downton Abbey, kind of creating. And actually, that was some of the best dialogue that I think in the five seasons of Downton Abbey that went on at the table. I mean, I don't think any of those guys in Edwardian England really would have said what these people said, but it was pretty interesting. And next week's the finale for the season. So I got much more out of my night last night than you did. That's 3 hours you're never going to get back again.
No,
Bill.
I know. That's the end of watching the Oscars. Bruce, your message, This Is What I Believe, which runs periodically throughout the day here, this is your one-minute commentary that you do on KVOI, and this time you're pretty straightforward, saying that this city needs some Republican representation on the council, and you're actually actively recruiting. You gave out your phone number.
Personal cell number.
Yeah, unbelievable, over the radio, and you put a message on Facebook. Do you believe that the poverty issues can be directed back at this Democrat-controlled city council?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think there's a lot of Tucsonans, including a fair number of Democrats, who are very happy with the results in the city of Tucson. And, you know, I think Mayor Rothschild has done a pretty good job. I think he's working very, very hard with some limited results at times. The results are really, you know, they're in the job numbers and they're in the lack of income growth that exists here in Tucson. We operate a lot of multifamily residential properties. And, you know, when you look at rents that have gone up about, and this is a hard number to believe in view of all of the expenses going up so much in comparison, the average rent in the city of Tucson for a Class B property, and that's, you know, that's a fair number of units, has only gone up about $9 in the last 4 years. Now, it's not because owners of properties don't want the rents to go up more. They can't, because there just simply isn't the income growth there.
Right. I haven't raised the rents on my properties in 5 years.
And it speaks, you know, that's sort of like the back end of the story, but it speaks to the lack of new jobs, and it speaks to the lack of increases in income. You know, we do have this sort of recovery that's sort of been a jobless recovery. So it's not just here in the city of Tucson, it's all over the place. You know, things are great on Wall Street. You know, if you own an IRA or a 401k or something, you're probably real happy. If you're the president of Apple or GE, you're probably thrilled and ecstatic. But you know, most people don't live in that kind of world.
Jeff Rogers, a lot is made about these poverty numbers, Tucson being in the, I don't know, fifth or sixth most poorest per capita capita community.
Well, there are several things to when you unpack these figures that you need to be aware of. One of them is this is based on data coming back at the very height of the Great Recession from 2009. I mean, we were in the deepest recession since the Great Depression in America and in the world. And so, you know, that makes these figures a little deceptive. Now, when you go beyond that, there are certain structural reasons why Tucson is always going to look like a high poverty town. One of those is the 40,000 some students are included in these figures. Well, most students make little or nothing, and so they're going to have a way below poverty income because they're being supported by their parents in most cases, or going to school on loans and scholarships and federal aid. So they're going to look bad. We also have two of the largest urban tribal areas in Indian tribal areas in the United States that are included within this metropolitan statistical area that this survey looked at, and both of those tribes have poverty levels like most Native American tribes do. That are 60% of the people live in poverty, and so those bring our numbers down. And in addition to that, we have a very large retirement population in the greater Tucson area. So those people will necessarily have lower incomes because they're living in retirement. And so, you know, we're always going to, for those structural reasons, we're always going to be in the top 10, top 20 of these kinds of lists because of having a large university and a fairly large town, the retirement and the Indian tribes and other things. So I think things have looked very promising, and I agree with Bruce that Jonathan has done an outstanding job as mayor and has really worked against what I think is a structural problem in the way our city charter is written. There's going to be, within the next few weeks, a report to the mayor and council to make some big changes in our city charter, which dates back to 1929 and hasn't had a majority of the things fixed since then. I have gone from being a someone who opposed ward-only elections to somebody who thinks it's something we really ought to realistically consider. I think that, sometimes, ideas from the other side, from the Republican side, aren't always bad, and an intelligent discussion of issues and some ideas, might be helpful to help move our city forward. And having some competitive places, I still think we'll kick their butt in most all of the wards and in the mayor's race. But I don't think it hurts to have a little bit of competition out there, and I think ward only is the only way that's going to happen. I think Bruce probably agrees with that.
I actually went to the meeting for the City Charter Commission last Thursday. I will say this. I applaud anybody who takes their own time and makes an effort to be involved in a city commission or volunteer organizations. This is a very, very poorly facilitated group. And it is a group that has some very interesting dynamics going to it. And I'm not sure... you know, the arts seem to be overrepresented on this commission. Republicans are extraordinarily underrepresented. I think there's one out of the entire group who identifies as a Republican. And it's a group that just is sort of all over the place. The chairman of the committee doesn't really – he's really not in control. The meeting didn't run.
I've heard criticisms that they spend an awful lot of time talking about procedure instead of policy. They get lost in those details. So I think what's going to happen is the mayor and council are going to boil this down. And they're going to boil it down to a few things. Well, maybe ward-only elections, mayoral parity. Right now the mayor can't do certain things. He can't vote to hire.
And that's a good idea.
Yeah, he and the mayor ought to be. And there's a possibility of a mayoral veto power, which I would like to see.
Which was intriguing when I because I didn't know that might come with this.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to see that.
And that would be by supermajority that they would have, that the council will still have override opportunities. But that was an interesting dynamic that I hadn't really considered before because it hadn't been discussed.
And then one of the most things that this city has needed. I have studied charters all across America, and one of the things that they really need, and you got to get rid of civil service protection for department heads and deputy department heads. You know, you can be a department head, and you could have a whole new mayor and council come in and say things are going to change over here, and they can give you the middle finger and say, nope, we'll do things the way we're doing them, because you know what? You can't fire me.
I wonder, though,
is absolutely outrageous.
I wonder, though, what the dynamics of that might have on a charter change election. I probably ought to study that up a little more, and certainly mayor and council, I'm sure, is looking at it. But that, to me, is a constructive sort of a thing we need to do. I'm just not sure how that might be attacked.
When I worked with the Southern Arizona Leadership Council and Tucson Association of Realtors on the last charter change attempt, and we made the mistake of packing all four things together and putting a salary increase in there. The salary increase killed it, but we did polling that showed that all of these other things were supported by over 70% of the people. So this time they'll be unpacked, that'll be piecemeal, and there'll also be something in there to change the way Tucson taxes to give it some more ability to raise some money.
I don't think that's going to change.
That one's going to be a difficult.
We're going to take our break here on the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers, Bruce Ash with us. Carl, I know you're on the line. If you would wait, please, we'll get to you. You've got a good question as we talk about poverty and politics in Tucson. 1217, be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of handwoven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0504 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they're on Facebook. Thank you, Moe, for your sponsorship of our Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers is seated to the left of me and Bruce Ash to the right of me. And waiting very patiently is Carl, who would like to join in our discussion. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, okay. Poverty is a multifaceted issue, but one of the things about Tucson is TUSD. If I'm going to bring a company in here of any sort or expand a current company that I have, one of the things I'm going to look at is a school system. And I go back and I look at the newspapers and I see what's going on, and I'm going to have a real major issue justifying coming to Tucson with the current problems and the past problems that the school system has. And frankly, one of the reasons I think that there's so many charter schools here is because of the issues within TUSD. If people were happy with it, the charter schools wouldn't have the market. Is there any way to address that?
Okay. Thank you, Carl.
Well, Carl, the problem is not just TUSD. The problem is Arizona. We're dead last in funding per pupil of education. And if you're bringing a company into Arizona, to any city, including Tucson, including Phoenix, and any of the other cities, you're going to look at this education system and wonder. We've also cut higher education in Arizona more than any other state during the Great Recession. Other states like Utah, Nevada, New Mexico surrounding us have gone back and refunded their higher education. But, you know, the schools certainly are a problem. If you're going to bring a business into this community or anywhere in Arizona, you're going to want to be assured that you're going to have the workers with the skills and the education to work for your kind of a business. And so what we don't want to see is an entirely service economy that has phone call centers and other low-paying jobs. So we're going to have to wrap our minds around this statewide. It's not just here in Tucson, but statewide, and ask ourselves, are we educating people for the 21st century in both our K-12 system and our higher education system?
Bruce Ash.
I appreciate what you just said, Jeff. However, the counterpoint is the stench that comes from the governance at Tucson Unified School District is enormous. One family has essentially been running this district for the last almost 30 years. It is in abysmal shape. 30% of all the parents in that district either have opted for charter or for private, or have opted out of the district entirely and are going to successful school districts, and not necessarily ones that we would think of as well-funded school districts. Flowing Wells and Amphi come to mind, but also Vail and Catalina Foothills and Sarita also. Parents are voting with their feet, and it's time that the Tucson Unified School District at least begins adopting some of the changes. There was a 400-page report given to them just last year, created a lot of controversy, but nothing has happened from that report.
Actually, I'm optimistic that H.T. Sanchez has got the TUSD on the right track right now.
He's leaving, he told us at the end of his contract.
Well, and if he's leaving, I think there are going to be reasons for that. We've lost three superintendents in a row because of Mark Stegeman, and that man is just poisonous to this board and continues to be poisonous to that entire district. And so I think we would be well served to perhaps recall Mr. Stegeman and get rid of him, and might change the way that board works.
Well, I realize that Mr. Stegeman used to be a Democrat, and you're kind of butt sore about that. I get that.
He thinks he still is, but he's just hardly welcome there.
Were you still there, Carl? Were you still with us?
I'd like to go back to that point about Arizona. How come Mesa and Phoenix are getting all of these jobs in these companies like Apple and Intel and what have you?
They have the same funding issues as we have here. And you know, the big thing, Carl, is there's not enough money that gets into the classroom. Only 47 cents of every tax dollar in TUSD actually makes it into the classroom. And all the districts use the same measure, and most of them are in the 56, 57 cent range, and they should be closer to 60 cents if they were really running and humming along.
Okay, so that goes back to my point. TUSD has a major problem and is a part of what's keeping the poverty level here.
Well, I'm not so sure you can blame TUSD for the poverty level here. We spoke earlier about the poverty level and what many of the structural contributing factors are, Carl. But, you know, certainly TUSD can do a better job, and I think they're on the right track right now. But these figures about what's spent in the classroom are also very deceptive. These non-classroom costs include bus drivers, they include the cooks who cook the food at the schools, they include nurses, they include librarians, they include lots of other things, including speech therapists and physical therapists. And you must remember that unlike charter schools and unlike some other tiny school districts, TUSD and the larger school districts, they have to take every student. They can't reject a student because he's developmentally disabled. They can't run off students like charter schools can when they have behavioral problems. They have to keep and take these students. And so there's always going to be in the very large school districts a little bit more work to do and a little bit harder road to hoe.
All right. Dave has been waiting. Go ahead, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Okay. The reason why we have poverty is free market principles. Years and years ago, I started research. This looks back periodicals. Motorola built a plant in South Park in Ajo. Mm-hmm. They would hire people, but the city didn't like it, and they raised taxes on them to make them back out. The city bought the building, and then at the same time, we had county administration that favored the industry that brings more people here, that is building more houses so more people would move here. And eventually they got voted out of office. But then all that land was rezoned, and then we had the biggest building boom in the history of Pima County when they put up thousands of homes, thousands of people moved here in the early 2000s. And at free market principle, when you get more people entering the job market, there's two things: drives wages down and creates more unemployment. And perfect scenario for creating more poverty. We need industries that create jobs, okay, building more houses and bringing more people here.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Well, certainly our economy all through Arizona needs to be far more diverse than what it is today. And we'll continue on a boom and bust cycle unless we do. And look, Jeff and I may disagree on, you know, how to count dollars that actually get into a classroom. I mean, Jeff, all of the school districts are measured by the same standards. Tucson Unified School District isn't any different than others.
You will find a trend that the larger the school districts are, the less those figures reflect reality.
Yeah. Well,
and TUSD is one of the example of that.
And perhaps, and you know, I doubt it's going to happen as long as we're alive, but perhaps TUSD shouldn't be the large district it is. I mean, look, I think they've offshedded what, 13 schools or something just in the last couple of years.
Because of the demographics of the city, it's a declining school age population. So it's a declining district for many for that reason as well, is that you're not going to have as many school age children as people age, and people begin to locate in the perimeter of the city. And also, you know, the city of Tucson is, and TUSD district itself is not as, it doesn't encompass some of our more, you know, let's say.
But you're answering, you're,
higher income areas of town. Just such as the foothills are not in TUSD. You know, TUSD ends before you get to the foothills. You don't have the wealth of Oro Valley. You don't have the wealth of Tucson Country Club. That's not in TUSD, is it?
Yes, it is.
It is? Okay. So you got a little bit there. So Bruce is contributing his fair tax dollar.
And happy to do it. I just wish, you know, our kids went to TUSD schools the same way that my wife and myself went to TUSD schools. It's an entirely different district under the leadership of the school board over the past 25 or 30 years.
Well, if you disagree with the direction of the school board, run candidates against them. I mean, we run candidates that we believe in, and we...
No, the unions and narrow special interests have run their candidates and been very, very successful.
I don't think in those monster
elections.
But you know, there might be an argument to be made for making the school district elections not citywide the way they are. I mean, I that's something, just like I said with the mayor and council and ward only. So it does tend to create an advantage certainly for our party.
Okay, Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash, thank you, gentlemen. I hope both of you have a very productive week.
Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Beautiful week coming up.
It should be. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery at Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I strongly suggest, if you have any kind of framing needs, the place to go, Moe's Gallery. They will take very good care of you. It is 12:31 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk a little bit more about education with Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show education contributor, next.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five-star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will. Your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call 5-STAR, that's 5-STAR, 886-0045, and 5startermite.com. We know what bugs you.
Are you slapping yourself with a board for taking your car to Quirky Lube? Why not a mechanic where you won't need penitence? Perfection Auto Works, since 1994, specializes in Porsche, Audi, Mercedes, and BMW. We also take in your Toyotas, Fords, and Chevys, from brakes and tune-ups to full restorations. 323-8650, perfectionautoworks.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, our Capitol Legislative Update series continues as we talk with State Senator Steve Smith, plus a newsmaker interview with Dr. Francisco Garcia, head of the Pima County Health Department. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on buckmastershow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We now talk a little bit more about education with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, who was a one-time superintendent of the year. Of course, he was the superintendent of the Flowing Well School District for a number of years. We're always happy to have him with us. He's a professor emeritus at the University of Arizona Department of Education. And once a month, we ask Dr. Hendricks to come in and talk about education. And there's so much to talk about what's been going on at the legislature. But before we even do that, let's kind of pick up on what Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash were talking about our education system here in Arizona. And is that system a real detriment to when companies look at relocating a business to Arizona in general?
Well, it certainly is, Bill. And if you are to believe the latest Education Week annual survey, Arizona spends the second lowest average expenditure for pupils, which is not something to brag about. And certainly, if you're a company looking to invest corporate dollars into a state, you're going to look at that and say, how is that going to be attractive to my employees if we're going to come to a state where they have not invested the necessary dollars to make it a state education system to be proud of?
And then we have the move at the legislature to kill Common Core. Would that be a mistake in your opinion?
I think it's a huge mistake. And I go back to the adage that my mother always used to use, and that is, don't throw the baby out with the bath. I mean, if we change the system again, in my recollection, this will be the third time that we've changed the testing cycle and the testing method in 7 years.
Wow.
And, I think to change the direction is really ludicrous. I mean, it is test development is a very sophisticated process. It's expensive, and it's very deliberate in the way you measure student progress. And for our state superintendent to say, we need to have academic goals for Arizona by Arizonians, really is a very narrow view. I mean, we are a global economy. We don't measure things by Arizona standards. I think that's really kind of a head-in-the-sand approach to looking at where students should achieve. So this idea of Common Core, which seems to be battered around by a lot of people, I do think there are a lot of misconceptions about what it is. Just to remind the listeners, it's a set of guidelines for two subject areas and two subject areas only, math and reading. And these are nationally adopted guidelines. We have 40 states that have adopted them. And it's to measure on a national level, you know, what students are able to do, what they're able to accomplish in those two subject areas. There is no classroom curriculum. There is no federal classroom curriculum. It's up to the individual states to determine what the curricula is going to be for these subject areas. It's only the standards. And these standards have been, for the first time, I think, have been standardized across the nation, so that it doesn't make any difference where you live in the country, whether you live in Arizona or Alabama or New York or California. It's the same state of standards. And these standards were developed by the Governor's Council, the Chief School Officers, the National Council for Mathematics, National Education Association, a bipartisan effort to put together a set of standards that are used nationwide, similar to what every other industrial country does. It's what we need to do.
And the governor has said he's for Common Core.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense. Common meaning common among all states. Core meaning basic, an understanding of what should be taught in mathematics, what should be taught in writing. Not Arizona writing, not Arizona mathematics, national. And so, you know, I know there are people who have said this is federal overreach. In terms of national standards, you can interpret it that way, but I want to go back to the fact that it's state control, it's local control, how that curricula is going to be taught. That is not national. The standards are national, but the method to get there has been left to the local and the state level.
We have Bob Hendricks with us, Robert Hendricks. Dr. Robert Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. And now, Dr. Hendricks, we have State Representative John Ackerley of Southern Arizona, a Sahuarita Republican. He is championing this Arizona effort at the legislature where parents could actually opt out of standardized testing.
Yeah, I could see where parents would be very frustrated about excessive testing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have really been in the last half a decade in a testing frenzy. We test for everything. And, you know, for parents who are starting to say, how much instructional time is being used, being dedicated to testing students? We've created this problem. We've created this problem of benchmarks and measurement and remeasurement. And so for Representative Ackerley to say, you know, enough is enough, I understand what he's saying about excessive testing. What I'm not sure I agree with is the idea that we should throw it all out. I do think we need to have certain measurements where parents can truly determine how their child is progressing in comparison to what other students are learning and what should be learned by a particular standard. So I don't know that I agree that parents should be able to opt out of that. Certainly, parents can choose not to send their children to school during that formal testing week, but there's other kinds of informal assessments and testing that teachers do all the time. And that's really appropriate for teachers to be able to determine whether students are progressing individually where they ought to be. And as a parent, I would want to know that. I don't think I would want to turn a blind eye to that.
One of our listeners correcting me, saying the governor ran against Common Core, at least what this listener says. The listener says that he heard the governor when he was running for office. He was at a meeting where Governor Ducey said he was not in favor of Common Core. But I'm not quite sure whether or not he would veto a bill that would kill Common Core.
I don't think I've necessarily heard that. I certainly have heard a lot from our state superintendent of public instruction, who really ran on a single ticket of wanting to abolish Common Core. But I don't know if I've heard that statement from the governor.
It just seems when you take the look at the big picture of all that's going on with the legislature, and you may have mentioned something about federal overreach, and I think that might be, if we were to kind of look at the big picture of all this legislation that's come forward so far, proposed legislation at this point, and it does seem to be a statement against federal control of our education system.
Yeah, I think it's a philosophical and ideological approach. It's definitely from the conservative camp. We've seen some of the more conservative governors in the country come out against Common Core. Some actually have flip-flopped on the idea. There's definitely some statements out there from legislators that suggest that they can do a better job creating a test, creating a system of measurement. I don't think they realize how complex the situation is.
And Ed, thank you for pulling that up on my screen here. When Republican Doug Ducey was running, this was a quote in a debate, I believe, that he had. And it said, I believe we can do better than the standards currently that are out there. So whether or not he is all for Common Core, he sort of left that open.
Yeah, I think there's one of the other issues with the testing system is that there's a major shift from rote memorization, factual recall, to more of a hands-on applied knowledge, and that's going to be difficult. And I'm going to predict that during the first pilot year of testing, mm-hmm. which should be underway unless there are things that suggest legislatively that's not going to happen, that scores are going to plummet that first year because students are not going to be conditioned to that approach. But the reality is, and this is clearly reinforced by the National Chamber of Commerce, they want assessments, measurements that are able to demonstrate the students are able to do something, not only know it, but be able to apply it. And this test should be able to do that. And I also should mention that the SAT
uh-huh.
and the ACT have shifted their approach to those same standards, as have the textbook companies.
All right.
So we're really going to be outliers, Bill, if we go in a different direction.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Hendricks. We'll see you next month.
Okay.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Escape from the ordinary. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument and relax in a hot spring. Hike in the Gila National Forest or visit Silver City's historic downtown. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Great places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn and others. Find the full listing at southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:51 on this Monday afternoon. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us now. Dr. Sykes is CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which celebrated in early February its 43rd year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes is the former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. He's very much involved in the development of commercial human space flights, and he has had an amazing career, and we always like to share some of those wonderful career items. Dr. Sykes, good to see you.
Great to be here, Bill.
And one of your career items is really studying the mission that is going on right now, the Ceres mission.
Yes,
the Dawn mission. About Ceres.
We spent a year at Vesta, which was a really interesting rocky protoplanetary, and now we are arriving at Ceres, the first dwarf planet that we've ever sent a spacecraft to. Dwarf planets being probably the most common type of planet in the solar system, if not the universe. And we're seeing a surface being revealed to us that has kind of an icy mantle, rocky core, and it has topography that we're going to be scratching our heads about. But it's not just impacts. It's also geology and stuff going on that may be revealing of processes going on in the interior, which may include oceans.
On Facebook, I saw some rendering of how big Ceres would look if it were like planted right over downtown Los Angeles. It's pretty big size.
Yeah, it'd take over Texas. It's about the size of Texas.
It would, yeah.
And that's if you just slice the middle out of it. But you'd need California and a number of other states to cover the surface of it.
And the folks at your institute, the Planetary Science Institute, are very much involved with this Dawn spacecraft mission to Ceres.
Yes, we have 12 people involved. We run one of the instruments, the gamma ray neutron spectrometer, which is going to tell us about the elemental composition of the surface and allow us to detect hydrogen, hence water, within the upper meter of the surface. And it'll be very important clues as to what's going on there.
Ceres was first discovered back in 1801, and it was considered, I guess, Dr. Sykes, as a planet at the time.
Yep. In fact, it was the first big astronomical survey of the sky to seek a missing planet that was predicted to be exactly at the distance from the sun where it was found. And so having searched for a planet there, finding an object there, they thought, oh, here's the planet. Now, of course, at the time, it was just a point of light in the telescopes. And William Herschel said, hey, what's this? You know, I found Uranus, and Uranus is a round disk when we see it in the telescope. This is a point of light. And he dissed it by coining the phrase, the term asteroid, star-like. And but when Hubble looked at it, well, within the last 10 years or 2006 or so, we saw that it was indeed a round object, the only asteroid in the asteroid belt. So it really is a planet, a dwarf planet, a small planet.
The images have just been incredible. And in fact, we can expect really increasingly crisper images because I guess the Dawn spacecraft goes into orbit around Ceres on March 6th.
That's right. And the images we've been looking at so far have been down to about 80,000 kilometers away from the surface. Our closest distance to the surface is going to be 435 kilometers. So far, far, far closer. And at this point in time, there's several things we're keeping our eye on. There's a kind of a brightish feature there that coincides with the latitude that water vapor emission was detected from Herschel's Space Telescope at Ceres. And we're thinking, you know, we're asking questions. Could this be a cryovolcano, something really interesting going on there that we haven't seen before?
And Ceres, again, is located between Saturn?
Nope.
No, where?
Nope. I've got Mars and Jupiter.
Mars
It's out in
Jupiter.
The main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter.
Oh, I was trying to do a nice segue into Saturn.
Well,
because you
okay.
know where I'm going with this. They have discovered the astronomical discovery of the week, I guess you could call it, maybe even maybe of the year. This is pretty cool stuff, I think. A super Saturn with rings 200 times as large as our Saturn.
Yeah, yeah. No, really a spectacular
that's cool.
find. They detected this by measuring the light of the star, which is about 9/10 of the mass of the sun. So it's about the size of our sun. And as the ring system passed in front of it along our line of sight, the brightness, you know, dimmed and brightened and dimmed and brightened, indicating that this structure was there. The planet that the rings go around is about 10 to 40 times the mass of Jupiter. It takes 10 years for this object to orbit its sun, so its distance from its sun would be about the orbit of Jupiter, given its solar mass. And so the size of the ring system is about 37 million, or the radius is about 37 million kilometers.
Oh,
and so the size of the Saturn ring system that you see, you know, with your eye out to the ring A is about 137,000 kilometers. 200 times that is actually smaller. It's about 27 million kilometers compared to this system's 37 million kilometers. And but, you know, when we trace what's the most different satellites that orbit Saturn, that's at about 25 million. And so these are just fun facts.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a big system, and it would if Saturn had that size of a system up in the sky, it'd be pretty spectacular.
It really would, and this planet-like body that has been now officially named, I guess, J1407B, like boy, is 400 light years away from Earth, and the only reason we even know about this, our optics just keep getting better and
yes,
more powerful.
Yes. We have some very sensitive surveys for measuring slight variations, in starlight, motions of the star, the effects of the pull of gravity of a planet on a star, and of course, seeing the ring system moving in front of the star and watching that star get dimmer and brighter and dimmer and brighter as it scans through this ring system.
When we hear that dwarf planet, getting back to Ceres, what makes a dwarf planet? I guess there's been so many going back and forth, the controversy over what is a planet, but what's a dwarf planet?
Well, it's real simple. Basically, it's big enough to be – it orbits the sun, and it's big enough to be round as a consequence of its own gravity that crushes its material into what we call a hydrostatic equilibrium shape. And so Ceres is a dwarf planet. Pluto and Charon are – it's a double dwarf planet, actually. And we've got a bunch of other ones, Iris, Maki Maki, and some other ones further out.
Did you say Mahi Mahi? No.
Maki Maki. It's almost like a tuna, but sure. It's different.
All right. Well, I know you certainly love Pluto because that's kind of your baby. You've done a lot of research on Pluto, but we'll save that for another time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This summer. It's going to be exciting.
All right. Mark Sykes, thanks for being with us. See you next month.
Thank you, Bill.
If you are looking for an auto mechanic, and who isn't? I mean, and let's face it, if the car's not working, you got a problem. Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. It's perfectionautoworks.com, Midtown, one block south of Speedway over on North Beverly. I've checked them out. Great operation. And I know one thing, that when I go to look at an auto mechanic shop, if it looks real clean and everything's working beautifully, that's a good sign. Yeah. So check out perfectionautoworks.com. Mike Shaw for Tucson at 4 coming up this afternoon, then Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 8, the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Engineering those 3 hours tomorrow morning will be Ed Alexander, and Ed will be back with me at 12:04. Until then, we wish you a nice afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.